welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. So happy to be with you today. So, how is it going? For me, it is basically rounding out the end of summer. Maybe your kids are already back in school. Maybe they're going back to school. Mine pretty much all start next week. My daughter starts 10th grade and my son and older daughter start college, freshman and senior year. So, you know, time marches on. So I hope your summer was wonderful and you are rounding out the end of it and enjoying yourself. If you're lucky to be one of those people in the States that start after Labor Day, you might feel like you have a bit more summer left. So I apologize. I'm not trying to take that away from you. But for me, I will tell you, it has been a summer of huge transition and change, and that can bring a lot of TMS. And I was having a conversation this morning with a friend, and he was telling me about how his TMS flares up and asking me a personal question, which is, how did you get rid of your pain? How did you manage this process? And my answer to him was, you are not broken. You are not a problem to be fixed. We are so often caught in the mindset of there's a problem. We search for a solution. We find the solution. We fix it. And then we're done. And the unfortunate slash fortunate part of a human existence is that's just not the way it works. So I don't consider myself to be a person who's gotten rid of anything. TMS is part of the human condition. Rotating things that you feel physically as discomfort, headaches, stomach aches, a little back or shoulder or knee pain, anxiety and its physical manifestations, whatever, all the things that we experience are part of the vicissitudes of a human life. So I don't see myself as having gotten rid of anything. I see myself as being in the mindset of wearing it loosely, knowing that sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies. And when we are having stressful times in life, there are times that it will manifest in our bodies. Like, for example, through this whole move to California, which I'm almost done with, and we're going to have a whole podcast on that coming up soon, I've been having this kind of weird, what I would call under the umbrella of IBS, where I just get stomach unease and it's bloating and it's just uncomfortable. And no matter what I eat, it doesn't really make a difference. And I recognize it as TMS. I recognize it as I carry a lot of my stress and anxiety and meaning making in my gut. And so that makes sense. But I don't see it as a problem. I see it as what I see pain as, which is strong stimulation and information. And so what do I need to do? I need to pause. I need to make sure to reset my mindset, which is, if it's not happening right now, it isn't happening, which means there's no reason to pre-grieve what may happen next week or next month. Control what I can control, which is usually just my responses to life. Do the next right considered action, which is practice whatever I can do in the moment to best take care of myself and others. And then, like, allow it to go as much as possible. Wear it like a loose garment. Go through life. A lot of this stuff is stuff I learned in 12-step programs as well. It's recovery in TMS and other issues of, you know, problems in terms of addiction. It's very similar, which is we get addicted to our pain, not because we like it, but because it holds space for something that we think we would rather not think about, or we unconsciously would rather not think about. So all of these things are things to consider when you ask yourself the question, you know, am I better, or how to get rid of something? It's about how to live loosely within it. You know, it's like a quote I heard once, which is like, peace is not the absence of turmoil. It's being able to stand in the middle of the turmoil and be at the center of yourself. And so that's a very loose remembrance of that quote, but it's something like that. In any case, I'm hoping that whatever stress you're under or whatever's coming up in your life, you're able to take that advice and wear it loosely. And one of the biggest parts of being able to wear it loosely is belief. As you will recall, there are three facets of my work, like three legs to a stool. All three of them need to be equally strong to stand. Believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And so when we talk about belief, I want to just remind you that belief is a practice. Belief is a verb. It's something that you have to cultivate on a regular basis in order to maintain. So today we're going to do a revisiting of last summer's summer series on belief. Lisa and I had just started working together. It was our second podcast together. And we were re-listening to it this morning and really felt like, wow, this is over a year ago that this aired. And this is something that we really think everyone needs to embrace, which is remembering how important it is and how difficult it is sometimes to believe and to learn and to continue practicing belief in your life. And this is not just, oh, I believe, in some sort of loose, nuanced way. This is very concrete belief that your pain or symptom or syndrome is TMS. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not you are not necessarily in the grips of any diagnosis that you have to honor. You can wear that loosely as well. All the things you hear here. And if you are confused and if all of this sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, just go back to the beginning of this podcast and listen from the beginning. Everything will make sense to you. I also want to mention that I'm getting a lot of DMs about learning about specific facets of my work. So I want to remind you that on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, under the retreats tab, there's a tab called retreat recordings. I don't publicize this enough, and I haven't been on Instagram a lot because of my move, and I've been really discombobulated, but people want to know about inner child work, about boundaries, about people pleasing, about the migraine deep dive, all of those things that I've done. The recordings are available on my website. So if you go to thecureforchronicpain.com and click on the retreats tab, you'll see the drop-down list for retreat recordings. You can scroll through them and see which one you're interested in. You can actually attend that workshop. It just won't be live. It'll be recorded, but you'll get the same content as anyone who attended it live. And I'm also going to be planning more live workshops for the fall. So look out for that announcement soon. Okay, my loves. Well, enjoy this redux of last summer's summer series on belief. I think it will be a really strong contribution to your stool, your three legs. You need them all. You know, believing in the process, doing the journal speak work, and of course, treating yourself with the kind of patience, kindness, and forgiveness you would someone that you love deeply. It's so important. All right, lots of love. So this week, I chose a sharing by Michelle. Michelle is a therapist, a trauma survivor, and a mother of two. And she brought something really important to the fore that I want to talk about, involving how to believe that this work can work for you, even when your mindset seems to be, especially because she's a therapist, and someone who's been in a lot of therapy, especially when your mindset seems to be one that would embrace it. How do we believe when we're stuck in so much fear about and needing to be well? And that concept we talked about last week in terms of Buddhism, where all suffering resides in desire and in clinging to what we decide we need. And so, you know, there's so much to talk about here about belief and trusting oneself. And so we're going to get into that today, because I oftentimes talk to you guys about belief. Anyone who follows my work knows that there are three main facets to my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And the concept of believe is huge, huge. When I teach retreats, the whole first section is on belief, because I want to bring you guys into the kind of peace and the kind of mindset and perspective it takes to really allow doing the work to have the most maximum effect on you, on your pain. And so today we're going to talk about what it really means to believe, what it means to trust yourself, and how we can get maybe a little different take on it and open up some space. That's another thing we're always doing here. We're opening up some space. You and I have been raised very staunchly, probably, in the Western medical paradigm, which is not a sin. All it means is
If you're hurting, let's reach for a pill, let's reach for a doctor, let's reach for a diagnosis, let's reach for a procedure or a surgery, or even if we've gone into the alternative realm, which most of us have dipped back and forth, let's reach for something that might seem unconventional, but we're still reaching for something outside of ourselves. We're still making somebody else the expert. We're still giving away our power. And I want to never make any of this stuff negative or pathologized. It's just the way we've been raised. And so all I'm doing here is creating some space, a little bit of space that you can maybe invite in a new perspective. So today that space is going to be around belief. So let's talk about this for a moment before I share Michelle's story. Let's talk about what it really means to believe anything. You know, it's a personal thing. No matter what somebody says to us, in the end, when we believe, it's because it connects to something within us. And sometimes I throw around the word faith like I did last week. And faith is a tricky word because it can overlap with religion and it could be a bit of a trigger for people. But just realize when I use the word faith, I use the word in a much more, in just a very benign way. You know, last week I was talking about my son and I was saying faith in the spirit of knowing that everything's going to be okay because you're allowing life to be your proof. You know, I had conversations with him. I helped him. I supported him. I was there for him. And then he came back to me and said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be okay, right?" That's allowing life to be your proof, doing the next right considered action and allowing life to be your proof. Today, we're going to talk about a little different kind of faith, a kind of belief where we are allowing our bodies to be our proof. And this is so huge for chronic pain recovery. When we stop giving away our power and we stop making everyone else the expert, we become the expert. We are the one doing the work. And then we're allowing our bodies to be our proof. And guys, I see this happening all over the world. I'm hearing from you guys every single day. I have my own personal friends and contacts, you know, friends of friends that I actually help in terms of conversation and just being in interaction with people, and I'm watching them change and I'm watching them believe because they're allowing their bodies to be their proof. So that's very, very important for our conversation today. So for a moment, let's talk about perspective. I love this metaphor. So a friend of mine was talking to a woman recently, and she was talking about her anxiety and her fear that, you know, maybe everything wasn't going to be okay. And this woman, who was a very sort of guru-ish, maybe like a bit of a shaman, said, "Why don't you just try to sit back a little further in your chair?" You know, I love having a visual for things. Sit back a little further in your chair. You don't have to be at the edge of your seat all the time, grasping for what you want. Sit back into the edge of your chair. Sit back further in your chair, and invite in perspective, almost like sitting back into a seat of your consciousness, of your capital K knowing, your knowing. Quiet your fear. And what might you invite in that perspective from that further back place? I think of like an Adirondack chair, and I picture myself sitting at the edge of it because I am an edge of my seat kind of girl, always wanting to go headlong into what's next and kind of sitting back and having that kind of perspective. Where does that make space for us? So that's the kind of knowing I want to invite in when we talk about belief, because it's so easy to get caught up in what is right and what is wrong and what you read on the internet and what somebody told you about your diagnosis or your condition and that kind of knowing that to me is connected to an annotated bibliography. You know, prove it to me. Show me. And today I want to talk about the knowing that resides within you, that comes from a place where if you open up, if you sit back a little further in your chair, maybe you are going to make space for something unexpected. And maybe that unexpected thing could be hearing a story on this podcast, listening to one of my back episodes about a diagnosis that you relate to and hearing that person be symptom-free, even though, according to the medical model, they still have that problem. Even though I have spondylolisthesis and I have an incredibly
I think rather rare, according to orthopedic surgeons, and severe finding. On my MRI, on my films, on my spine, told I would never have children and exercise and travel, and how I do all of those things with no pain at the age of 50. Maybe that's the space that we can create some belief for you when you're sitting a little further back in your chair, when you're not so intensely connected to what you thought you knew. You know, one of the greatest lessons I've learned in my life is I don't know what I think I know, and I don't need what I think I need. And if I can just make space for that I don't know, there is so much possibility for enlightenment and awakening there. So let's just keep that kind of very kind of when we wear life like a loose garment, very, very gentle space, holding that space when we listen to Michelle's issue, and then we're going to talk about it together on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Michelle, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to speak into the void right now. I'm a fellow therapist, actually, in LCSW in New York State. I am struggling so much. I am struggling so much, and I'm going to do my very best to say this all in 5 minutes concisely. I am a mother of two young children. They're 2 and 5, my amazing daughters, who I love more than anything. And unfortunately, I feel, I know, that for all of their lives and, you know, for beyond, you know, for the last 9 or 10 years, my entire life has just been consumed and defined by my health issues. My main symptoms that are hard for me are gastrointestinal, and I have been diagnosed formally with SIBO, with a pretty difficult to treat SIBO, methane SIBO, which presents for me as like pretty extreme bloating, like all day long. I wake up so bloated. I wake up and I'm no exaggeration. I look anywhere from like 4 to 6 months pregnant on any given day. And it just gets worse as the day goes on. And also just really ridiculous levels of constipation. And I've done everything, and when I say everything, I mean, well, almost everything in the physical realm to try to deal with this, to try to make these symptoms go away, to no avail. I mean, I could just scream, even at the amount of like, not just energy, but money I have put into feeling better. I've had other issues in my adulthood. I'm 38 years old. I've had other issues. I've had, you know, random fainting spells, you know, when I was in my early 20s, and mysterious things. I've definitely had medical anxiety. What I want to share that's really important is that I have a really, really, really complex level of trauma in my background. You know, my mother didn't raise me. My father did at a certain point in my childhood. And he just so many extreme things. I'm definitely a parentified child, like to the max. And I've witnessed a lot of horrible things in my life, and I've experienced them personally. And my hang up here is that as much as I believe in this mind-body connection, and I even talk to patients or clients, excuse me, about it, like I have not been able to apply that to this, to especially the gastro stuff. And I'm like shocked at my blind spot there. And I can express what it is. I can express my resistance, but I think I'm so hopeless at this point. And also that in a way it's like, oh, I've worked through all that stuff. I've done it. You know, there's not a single repressed memory, which, you know, who knows if that's true, because the very nature of it is I wouldn't know. But like, I'm just, the real thing for me, and when I think about my emotional baggage, is like, there is just like, I don't know, 2,000 stories. There's like 2,000 horrible memories that I have still that overwhelm me. And I'm sure I walk around with it in my body. You know, I have been in therapy for 21 years. I've done EMDR. I've done lots of really wonderful things for my, you know, trauma history and PTSD symptoms. But I'm sure they live with me. And I think I just need help. I need guidance. I need motivation. I need shape here. I understand the journal speak methodology. I have not tried it yet, but I want to. And I'm so scared that I just cannot change my brain to believe that this can impact my physical health, which is making my life feel like it's, I don't know, I'm living 10% of my potential and capacity, which I can't say enough, like as a mother, what that does to me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak for 5 minutes about this, and maybe we'll connect. But if we don't, I already want to just say thank you for everything you put out there. And I'm really keeping my eye on it, and I hope I get there. Bye.
Michelle, my love, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. And I'm going to speak for myself, and I know I can speak for many of you out there. The despair about not being able to parent our children when we're suffering in pain is so freaking real and so deep and touches into so many places, not just the day-to-day of our actual kids, but the places we've vowed to be different than our own parents. And I can hear in your description of your upbringing and your abuse history that your vow must have been pretty deep. The way you were planning to raise your children and maybe the way you are raising your children, but also the perceived deficit that we can all experience when we don't feel like we're showing up as our best. Like you said, the 10%, it's so big. And so I just want to bring real deep connection to that. And also to your struggle with belief. You know, belief is really challenging. And when you're in a space of needing, and I put that in quotes, so badly to feel well, that belief can be even more hard fought. So that's what we're here to talk about. That's what your sharing led me to know that everyone needs to hear this, because we're all struggling with belief in a certain way. We're all struggling, as I said before, with the conflict between the belief we've been taught to inhabit, which is what we have been shown as children and growing up to be the way, to be the way. You know, the medical model, the research, the studies, the way it was done by our parents, you know, that is what we were, it was held up for us as, quote, the way. And my real question for you today, for everyone listening, is what if you are the way? What if you are the way inside to that which needs to be discovered? And what if you are the way out of this pain, out of the woods, out of the jail in which you sit? And that is the question I've been asking since day one of me doing this work. It was the first question I had to ask of myself as I sat steeped in the medical model, steeped in the certainty of what was wrong with me, steeped in the intensity of the looks on these doctors' faces when they're like, this is what you have, which means this is what you are, which means this is how you'll live. And, you know, all I can say is that did not turn out to be the truth for me. And I believe, Michelle, that doesn't need to be the truth for you. So let's talk a little bit about knowing, more about knowing, because I really think this is, knowing and belief is such an important jumping off point, a springboard into doing the work, which is what we're going to talk about next, because I do need to say to everyone and to Michelle, who is telling us she hasn't yet started the work. She hasn't yet started her journal speak practice and all the magical transformation that happens within it that has been documented over and over and over again on this podcast in hundreds of episodes. So there is that, and it is there for you, but let's just fertilize the soil with the belief, and then we'll talk about the work a little bit. So this is what I want to say about the gastro stuff, and with full connection, honey, that I know it's really, really hard when something looks so physical, like a bloating. It's just the same. It's the same as back pain. It's the same as migraines. It's the same as fibromyalgia. And this is not to diminish the seriousness of any diagnosis, condition, or reason that you suffer. But when we look at mind-body medicine as a whole, our responsibility is to understand that the brain and the nervous system are responsible for every sensation that is felt or experienced in our bodies. And so there is a reason that your digestion is slowed down to the point where you are constipated and there are certain gases that are created that are making you bloat. Another thing that I talk about a lot, but that bears repeating, is that we are, as people living in 2022, the same in certain ways as the dawn of man in terms of when human beings began living independently and trying to save our own lives on a daily basis. There are certain parts of our brain, most notably the brain stem, that controls the fight, flight, or freeze response that is exactly the same. And so think about what happens with certain bodily systems when we're in a state of long-term fight or flight for whatever reason. One of the keys to our functioning is digestion gets shut down. Because if you're running for your life from a tiger, the last thing you need to do is worry about getting a lunch or going to the bathroom. Those are two things that are not top of mind when you're running for your life or fighting for your life or freezing like the still grass around you. You don't want to have to use the bathroom or get your next meal. So your body and your brain know intuitively that it's time to slow that down. And whatever goes with that can be manifest in your body. So I want to just kind of, I'm putting this out there for the gastro stuff because I'm speaking to Michelle today, but I'm speaking to all of you that wherever your symptoms are residing in your body, if it is really difficult for you to believe that it could be affected by this work, understand that the premise of mind-body medicine is that everything, although real, although experienced in the body, although excruciating to the point where some people who have started my work are bedbound for months to years. So this is not stuff that anybody's making up or it's not in your head or you're not creating it. This is capital R real happening in your body. But why? Why? What is the genesis of these problems? And in Michelle's case, the genesis is a complex mixture of her trauma, of her panic over this problem, over probably a long-term chronic stress that has led to a slowdown in her digestion, all of which is originated in the brain and the nervous system that get their information from our emotional and conscious input. So if any of this feels really high level for you, please understand there are so many episodes of the podcast. Go back to the beginning and listen to it, starting with my story. Everything is explained, and there's also so many resources on my website, which is thecureforchronicpain.com. But every time I mention this, I mention it with the same emotional passion and vehemence because this is what is happening in your body. And in order to believe, because you know what we're trying to do is we're trying to cultivate your personal belief, the way you can push back in your own chair and have perspective. I'm trying to create that space with a real understanding that this is happening. And so, Michelle, absolutely, your SIBO is generated in this same way. And another thing I want to mention, because I know you mentioned it, Michelle actually left two messages, one of which to clarify, I'm only playing one, but in the other message you said, it's really hard for me to believe when there is evidence of this bacteria in my gut. And I have spoken to my colleagues all around the world. I'm connected virtually with the best and brightest mind-body physicians all over the globe, and the contention is the same, which is if you took 100 people off the streets of New York City, let's say, and gave them all an MRI, as many people would have some sort of a finding, like a bulging disc or a spondylolisthesis or some sort of an abnormality, bone on bone, whatever, that would be experiencing pain as would it be experiencing no pain. And the same would be true of the no findings, that certain people with no findings are experiencing pain. And that is because this mind-body connection is alive and well in all of us. So given that same thinking, the doctors that I've spoken with have the same contention about of something like SIBO, which is if you were to mine the bacteria in 100 people's gut, as many as would be symptomatic and asymptomatic would reveal certain bacteria and not have certain bacteria. I hope I'm not explaining this terribly, but it's making sense in my mind. So let's go with it. That, you know, it's just because you have something that's a finding doesn't mean that it is the reason for your discomfort or your symptoms. It might just be a normal abnormality. I cannot tell you how many times I have interacted with someone via online or a friend of mine or somebody that I know that they are diagnosed with something like SIBO. SIBO is a big one right now, and I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just telling the truth that they end up in functional medicine and all these different supplements and diet changes and suffering, and it's perpetuated. And then they find this work, they do the work, their symptoms resolve, and they have the same gut. You know, and I just want you to know that it's possible. You know, sometimes belief is triggered by just knowing that it's possible in another person, that it could be possible for you. So that's what I want to say, because I know that you have not yet started the work, Michelle, and I want you to do the work with the right mindset as far back in your chair as possible. So this all brings to mind something that happened to me yesterday in my meditation. So I was, for whatever reason, really agitated. I was not able to center myself. I was meditating, but really I was like thinking about 100 things that were stressing me out. And I was trying, sort of almost unconsciously, but in some sort of a way, half consciously, I was trying to figure out how to drop in. I was trying to solve a problem. I was trying to control it. And what happened was, as I was focusing on my breathing and trying, the concept came into my mind, which is, what if I just say, I don't know? What if I just say, I don't know? I don't know how to stop controlling this. I don't know how to stop stressing out. I don't know how to drop in. And in that very moment where I felt it land, that feeling of I don't know, I felt an incredible alignment in that moment. It was really powerful, and it was peace, and it was brief. I mean, come on now. I'm not a guru on the mount. But it mattered. It turned the entire meditative process into a different flavor. And so, so I want to talk about the concept of that in terms of belief, this idea of, I don't know. You know, how can we reframe belief as an invitation instead of a desperation to know? A slowing down and a holding space for possibility rather than something that needs to have an annotated bibliography in order to earn your buy-in. What contributes to this possibility? What makes the risk of new thinking worth the reward? Ask yourself this question, because like I said, we're looking here for you to be the expert. We don't want to give away our power anymore. We don't want to define belief as the last research study we read, given all that I've already said on this podcast and all that we're always talking about. So the answer is different for everyone, and it's the asking really that matters. Like in the moment of my meditation when I said, I don't know, it was the admitting I didn't know that led me into the alignment, and because it circumvented the process of desperation of trying to control and know. And so in the same way, it's the asking of yourself that matters. It's saying, what if I could reframe this? Maybe I can. It's the speaking that honors the speaker. And in itself, there's some relief there. And I know this is getting a little philosophical, but go with it, because I really think this is the place where we start to shift our resistance to whatever belief we're looking for. And another thing, you know, that I want to say, because I've been saying this forever, is that I know that desperation, when you're really, really freaking desperate, it leads to surrender, this I don't know, which leads to willingness, which can lead to openness to doing new things. I know that. But in the same sense, I hope to raise the bottom. I don't want you to have to be so incredibly desperate before you surrender. I want to maybe have this discussion that we're having today matter in helping us understand that maybe the way we see things on paper isn't the end all be all. You know, what if the end goal is not the elimination of what we thought was the problem, is not the removal of the disc or the changes in the diet or the next new drug that comes out. Maybe the end goal is a life of freedom that you've experienced because you've seen it on this podcast in the form of other people, because you've allowed your body to be your proof once you've started the work. So this podcast is not on the works, but I'm just going to touch briefly on the work in the spirit of allow, name, and release. And the work, of course, is the naming of it. And Michelle, I know that you haven't yet started the work, and one of your barriers to that, it seems, is that you are fearful that it can't work for you, that this particular symptom can't be affected by mind-body work. But I hope to have at least opened a crack in the shell thus far to invite you to begin. And so here's what I'll say about the work. If indeed we are to postulate, as I always do, that the brain and the nervous system view your repressed emotional world as a greater predator than your physical pain or however it's manifesting in your body, and it's defending against those repressed emotions, and I'm going to speak more about what that means to have an emotion that's repressed in a moment via Michelle's concern, but if it is defending against those repressed emotions and pushing them down and pushing them down, and all your energy is there, hence all you're looking at is your physical manifestation and how it's ruining your life. If we press a pause on our fear and the meaning we're giving to our different diagnoses and conditions and symptoms, and we turn our light over to the emotional world and do the work, which is the daily journal speak practice that you can learn all about via this podcast and my website and my Instagram at Nicole Sacks LCSW. Find me and learn what we're doing every day. If you can do this journal speak practice, what's happening is you're revealing to your conscious mind all that which has been repressed desperately by your brain and your nervous system. And when you do the systematic, consistent work to reveal these things so they are no longer repressed, so they are in the sunlight of every day, the symptoms stop firing. The pain signals stop firing. The bloating relaxes. The digestion is not constricted anymore. This is a natural process that happens every day that I see in myself and in people doing this work. So within the space of belief, to do this work is going to resolve your symptoms, because that's the science behind it. The science is that the brain will continue to repress until it understands that it is safer to feel than it is to divert us with these physical symptoms and this long, and the physical reality of what happens when we live in long-term fight or flight and the way our bodily systems are affected as a result. So, and the one thing I'm going to say, as per Michelle's comment that she's a therapist and that she's done so much work on her trauma, is Michelle, and this also speaks to belief, under the umbrella of belief, sometimes you need to understand really consciously to calm your nervous system that you're looking more deeply at your history and at your personality and at the ways it's manifesting in your life, and connecting that to the fact that it actually will affect your physical functioning is necessary for the work to matter. So you could have done 20 years of therapy and it matters. Trust me, it will help you with such ease to do what you need to do here, but it won't necessarily resolve your symptoms unless you're connecting in your conscious mind the work that you've done and will do with the cessation of your symptoms. And the reason why is that if fear is what perpetuates chronic pain, as I often say, chronic pain in itself is not about pain. It's an epidemic of fear. You know, pain is the way it's manifesting, but fear is what the engine that drives it. And if that fear that the work you've done and all the hard work you've done in therapy and EMDR is not going to possibly affect your physical body, that fear will be big enough to put a real brake on the progress that you want to see in your body. So I think probably the missing piece there for you, Michelle, is connecting that, connecting the fact that you may not have been able prior to this moment to believe that that could matter, that all this hard work that you have done and are doing on yourself matters. And I think that if you can relax and kind of drop in to that connection, that's going to be really helpful in seeing some progress in your body. And of course, like you said, you haven't even begun the actual journal speak work. So I think there's so much ahead of you in allowing your body to be your proof and believing it That's another thing I say all the time. Allow your body to be your proof. And when it starts, when you wake up one morning and instead of 3 to 6 months pregnant, you're 2 to 5 months pregnant, you can say, wow, I'm going to take note of that, because it's important, guys. It's important. We have to note our successes. You can't just get caught up in where we're falling short. You know, that's our parents' voices, not ours. And if it is your voice, because like me, you took the baton from your parents and you're running with it, know that that can stop anytime you choose. And it's hard, but it can stop. I've really stopped doing that to myself. And I'm so proud whenever I can say that to you guys. Honestly, I've actually really stopped doing that to myself. And that can be the truth for you too. So what do I want to do to finish this up, to wrap this up? I want to talk for one moment about a parable that I love that you probably have heard in your life about the concept of the two wolves. So I'm going to read this parable to you, and then I'm going to end us with a bit of a philosophical meditation to kind of solidify all that we've talked about today. So the parable of the two wolves goes like this. An old grandfather was teaching his grandson about life. And the grandson says, "A fight is going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt. God, it goes on. Resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." Wow. That's one big fucking wolf. And he continued, the little boy continued to his grandfather, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And the grandfather says, "Well, the same fight goes on inside me and every other person too." And the grandson thought about this for a minute, and he says to his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And his grandfather simply replied, "The one you feed." So when I talk about belief, when I call out all this brain science, when I talk about what you've learned from the medical model and all the fear and all the way it's diminished your ability to believe that you could live a full life, and then when I talk about the success stories on this podcast and the success story that I am walking around, and all the belief that you can gain from understanding that maybe you don't know everything you think you know, and maybe you don't need what you think you need. When I talk about that, those two possibilities, you get to choose which one you feed. You are the expert. You are the way. And I believe that for you, because I know I am the expert of me, and I am the way for me. So I offer you the possibility that you can choose. You can choose which one you feed. And that's really, really important for you to consider today. So we're going to close the podcast today with a little meditation. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to close your eyes if you're driving, or if you're engaged in something, if you're taking an exercise walk or whatever. You can just listen to it mindfully, or if you're in a space where you can close your eyes, you can close your eyes. And it's just some thoughts about belief and an invitation for you. Belief is a question whose answer always arrives in a new form. Belief is a feeling that there is a key to every door without having ever seen the door or knowing where it leads. Belief, like doubt, begins as a seed and grows through the sunlight of our attention, just like the wolves. We water it with our intention, and it grows in the spaces we open inside ourselves. What might take root if belief had room to grow unobstructed by any limits we impose? What might we believe if we ask ourselves, how can we have more than we ever imagined, not less? a body we could gently and silently commune with that didn't frighten us with its nature to reflect our human condition. I'm going to say that again. What if we could have a body we could gently and silently commune with that didn't frighten us with its nature to reflect our human condition? A love that provides companionship in ways we only dreamed possible, a love with our own selves, with our body. Something we feed that is actually nourishing ourselves, the seed that grows inside us each day that makes us less afraid, less alone, more open to help, willing to be less than perfect in front of our kids, and able to prioritize ourselves. What if we just ask ourselves, what if? And believe that this is belief. So take that with you this week. Take that with you and see if it can hold a little bit of space for opening possibilities and willingness to feed the wolf that brings you hope. And this week on SpeakPipe, I would love for you guys to reach out to me. Remember, it's linked on my resources page on my website. It's linked on my Instagram bio, and it's linked in my Journal Speak community on Facebook called Journal Speak with Nicole Sacks, LCSW. Come join us. It's a closed group on Facebook. I want you to go to SpeakPipe, which is www.speakpipe.com/Nicole Sacks, and tell me, this is what I want to hear about next week because this is where I'm struggling. Michelle gave me a wonderful jumping off place with belief. I want to know where you're struggling. You listen to this, you think about your own life. It could be something that has to do with your mind-body system or chronic pain. It could be something that has to do with your relationship with your partner or your kids. It could be something that has to do with your struggle with your own purpose, finding purpose at work, or where you want to go next in your life, or how to enter into a full stream of life after the pandemic. Where are you struggling right now? And what do you want to hear me talk about? Please go to SpeakPipe and tell me. And maybe your topic will be the topic next. All right, my loves, always such a pleasure to be with you. Michelle, thank you from my heart for sharing yourself today and allowing so many people to benefit from this conversation. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sacks with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, our summer series, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.